Okay, welcome
to episode 2 of Not a Big Deal,
the podcast aimed to make marketing leaders feel less alone. We are your co-hosts. I'm Kelly, joined by my friend Lucy. And yeah, this is our second episode. Thank you so much to everyone who interacted with our podcast announcement. Admittedly, it was now a few weeks ago, but we had some lovely messages, found it honestly a bit overwhelming in a really amazing way. So thank you to everyone who shared this, told a colleague about it, commented on our LinkedIn post. It all makes a difference. So thank you. And I promise we do also have some valid reasons as to why this was not at the cadence we thought it would be from the start. Lucy went on holiday. I got married, so we just had a few things going on, and we actually did a recording before we both left on holiday, but we decided it wasn't good enough, so we are doing it again because we're here building in front of all of our friends. Lucy, what did we learn from episode two, V1?
We should maybe also admit we did episode one, V1, so at the moment we're learning on the fly about how to podcast. And also, I think we're really at like stretching what the podcast is and how we want to show up for everyone and how we want to communicate stuff. And I think Kelly and I walked away from the pipeline episode 2 version 1 and thought, oh, this actually doesn't feel right. This isn't what we want to talk about. We obviously want to make sure that the podcast is useful and that we give you guys useful stuff. But actually, we think really where we can bring value when you're listening is explaining what we found difficult and kind of try and empathize. Or hopefully you're feeling the same feelings that we did when or are in the current situation of pipeline. So we're going to talk a bit about that today later. First, for our trending topic. So one thing I love when brands do, and specifically with anything social, is when they really find something trending, they find that sweet spot of something trending and something that fits so well with their customer base. And so actually I sent Kelly the Reese TikTok, their latest TikTok, where they've got the...
For some people who might not know Reese, like in the US, it's a clothing store for both men and
Sorry,
women.
We're thinking global. Just the UK.
We are global.
Okay, so Reese is like, how would I explain it as an American equivalent? I don't know if I can, but I'd say that they're more expensive menswear clothes. They do a lot of like tailoring and suits. So by the nature of that, their audience is a lot of like bankers, guys in finance, like successful guys who are wearing suits, financially successful, I should say. And so they use I'm going to assume that everybody knows that I'm looking for a man in finance.
I think that's going global, safe to say.
And so they used that music and hired dancers all wearing a similar men in finance uniform by Reese, and then did it in the middle of this like finance center in London. And I just thought, my favorite thing about it actually was the comments underneath that were saying, get the girly in social arrays, like how did she get this past the management? And I thought, like, that is exactly what you want, especially on TikTok, is that sweet spot where you speak to the audience but you're a bit daring. And I just thought, yeah, it was fun.
I totally love it. And I think there's so much to be learned from, well, I guess Reese is obviously like a B2C business, yeah, but just like this idea of being bold and being brave. And there is so much, what we keep saying on our team is B2B bland or B2B beige. There's so much of that. And if you can be like topical and fun and creative and brave, it's usually going to be worth it. I also have to say my now husband's name is Reese, and he did wear a suit from Reese at our wedding. So it's very,
well,
very meta here. So on brand. Not in finance, but,
I also think with the, like, just talking back to the B2B thing, I think that when you, and this is the thing with B2B, is that sometimes it can be, your audience can be kind of bland, dare I say it. Like it can be someone who's doing something at work that isn't that fun. But I think also with this Reese example, like, yeah, you're wearing clothes to work, but they found something fun about doing it. And when you find that sweet spot of the content that fits your audience, that is like when you can get super creative. But you have to like really nail it down. And I think you have to start thinking or talking like the audience you're speaking to. You want to know like what are the things that they're thinking. And I you know, do I think a guy in banking is thinking about having 10 dancers in the middle of the banking? No, but it talks to a thing.
He's probably laughing about it.
Well,
and sending it to his friends.
That's great. True.
I'm with you. And just one more comment on that is I think that even in B2B, like sometimes it's easy to forget that you are selling to people. Like, regardless of if your target buyer is an engineer or like for us at Meter, it's someone in finance or billing operations, or if you're sending someone in product, whoever your buyer is, it is still a person like with a personality that wants to have fun. Yeah, yes, they likely want to do well at their job too. And if you can help them do that, then great. But like build a brand that has a personality, because who you're selling to, they're not robots.
Exactly.
I love the Reese example. I think it's so fun. And I think so many companies have done this looking for a man in finance sort of spin-off, and they're really cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for the trending topic.
Oh, no worries. Okay, should we go through what's your week been like at work?
Yeah, definitely. So it's my first week back post-wedding and honeymoon. So just getting back in the swing of things. But this week, and honestly the last sort of 5 to 6 weeks, we've had a big focus on demand generation, building pipeline, trying to really figure out what's a sustainable, like what are activities that work well for us and how do we quickly experiment? So it's been a big, big focus on this for us. And admittedly, it's an area that's quite out of my depth. As I think we mentioned on episode 1, I have a product marketing background. And so I've always contributed to campaigns like content or messaging, but someone else has always driven the strategy. And so it's definitely an area where I feel very out of my depth. It's been a lot of asking for help, a lot of saying, I don't know. We've brought together a group that meets every other day across the company to focus on it. So it's not just a marketing problem, and lots of smart people are thinking about it. But yeah, that's been a big focus for me and our team the last few weeks.
I wanted to say, one of the least fun bits, I think, is the driving the strategies. I always quite liked the driving the strategy, but the pressure that comes with the leads is definitely something that I always found really difficult. Like, to some degree, sent out of your control, but you're responsible for it.
100%. And I think it feels like there's so many things you can do. Like there's so many levers you can pull. There's so many activities you can try. And especially in early stage startup, it's such a balance of quick experimentation, try things, you know, don't overthink it. And I'm totally on board with that. But then sometimes that to me, and maybe it's coming from a bigger company for a couple of years, is like, are we being thoughtful enough about what we're doing? Like, where does everything align? Like, do we actually have a funnel by persona? And so I think it's been a good period to sort of just really force us to change things and shake things up and be braver, sort of like the Reese example, be braver. You know, we're going to release some really, really fun creative ads that sort of like are a spoof on a bunch of popular memes that hopefully our buyers will resonate with. So that's always the balance that I'm grappling with, is just like, how do you prioritize? How do you know when to call something? Like, is it working? Is it not? Because you can boil the ocean.
No, is it working? Is it not? Is so tricky. I wish that there was like a rule. Like you have to try something for 6 months. Well, I guess then it is that thing of you'd have to get everyone sold in on it. But you're always told as a marketer, there's some stuff that won't work for ages.
Yeah.
I think consistency is important though.
Tell me more.
Well, I think, okay, if you're going to try it for, I guess it's a balance between resource. So like how much is stuff costing? How much time is it taking of the team? But I also do think it's important to look at how consistent can you be over that amount of time? Okay, if you're going to give it 3 months, like how consistent do you need to be? Are you posting twice a week to make sure that you're properly testing it? Or I just feel sometimes that, well, definitely with me, I would be like, right, we're going to try this new series. And I'd feel the momentum at the start would be really strong. And then you'd like do two or three videos and then everyone will be a bit like, oh,
yeah,
not as well.
100%. And I think it, sometimes I struggle with, if you start too many activities, you never finish anything. And so like nothing's ever closed. Like we have no shortage of ideas. We have so many ideas, but we have a limited budget. And like you said, a limited resources, like we have a lean small team. And so you only have so much time every week and you don't want people working until midnight every night. So how do you figure out almost like which tracks to start? How do you, what does start to finish look like? How do you end them? And how do you determine what success look like? And I think there's a continuous education piece internally I find as well, because I think a lot of people expect activities to generate pipe quickly. And again, this is pulling from Salesforce, so it's a very, very different market, but like we wouldn't look at things until 90 days after. And I think that's only going to, as buyers get more skeptical and it's more about relationship building and like a slow nurture, I think if you only focus on short term, you're going to miss out on relationship building and potentially burn your own brand.
100%. I think actually we should just get into what we've been looking at in terms of pipeline for this week. I think everything we're talking about at the moment is super relevant.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just get into it, because I think you and I wrote down some like thoughts and feelings of how we felt. Well, you're in the pipeline. I am actually to some degree as well at the moment. So I think it's good for us to like talk through, okay, what were we feeling when it came to pipeline and what are we struggling with?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Do you want to go first? I feel like you had some really good advice on sort of how you shifted your mindset on it.
Well, I think it's probably worth starting like what was difficult for me first off. So I think there's like maybe, I think we've touched on it slightly, but there's kind of like, for me, there was three things. There was coming in as head of marketing and feeling like I had to hit every single thing. So like we needed to be doing brand, content, paid, Google. Are we doing creative stuff enough? Like, okay, and then I need to make sure like conversions on the website are working. I had to get quite technical about email. Like it felt, especially starting it from scratch, I had to start everything immediately. And I think for the first year, it was me chasing my own tail, trying to set up what I deemed to be a marketing department. Like it had to have every lever that a marketing department traditionally has. And that
like every function. Like I think you can come in and say, we're going to have agencies that cover PR. We're going to have an agency that does content. I'm going to hire this person. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I think I'm doing too much. Or like for us, I was like, we're over indexing actually on brand. Like PR is taking way too much time. But it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to know where to start. I totally agree.
No, wait. So that was one. Two was, I think, a feeling I hadn't had before, the pressure of leads. So I hadn't had that kind of like overwhelming feeling of, oh, everyone is looking at me week on week and there is a number attached to my job. I hadn't had that before. Well, that's a lie. I had had it before, but I guess I wasn't the head of. So in that sense, the pressure was like doubled or tripled compared to what it was normally. And then I think the third thing was, again, I mean, are we going to talk about imposter syndrome every week? But
probably because it happens syndrome. Every week.
But I think the feeling of like, am I making the right decisions? How can I find support in thinking what I think we should be doing, in finding the right way to go? And actually, I think my boss at the time was also very leads focused, financially focused, which I think as a CEO you should be. But that also meant, of that, actually weirdly going back to the restuff, of that where does the creativity sit? Where can you start to be more more daring? That actually was harder and harder to justify the more we were focused on the end goal being leads.
And there's also no time to be creative. Like, I feel like we have spun up so many projects that there's no time to let your mind wander, to think about like the Reese idea and be like, oh my God, this is super topical. Let's do it. It's almost like, I feel like, and this is something for me going forward, how do we make like 10% of our week free for creativity? Or like, does everyone have one crazy idea a week that they share? And maybe actually once a month, we pick one of them. But a few of the things you said, like the first one was hitting every goal. And sort of like trying to build this big team. I almost feel like, or not a big team in terms of hiring, but in, like you said, a fully stacked marketing function in whatever ways you do that. It almost makes me feel like, and I hope this isn't offensive, but like it makes me feel like I have ADD, because I'm like, I'm doing this and then I'm doing this. And there's so much nonstop context switching that I'm like, do I ever get deep into anything? Like, how do I ever properly think something through if I'm leaping between, you know, a call with a designer and then jumping into a call with the sales team about outbound? And then, I mean, it's good because everything should be interconnected and I want to be across everything, but I find it sometimes really hard to focus. And I worry, am just like, yeah, would we just be better if we did less? Would we actually do more if we did less? It's probably every startup's question.
Well, I think maybe that is where the where we can actually start to look at how we overcame it or started to get more structure around it. Because when we both did the same thing, right? We said, right, we're from bigger companies. I'm ready to start a full marketing function. And for me, I would always have been kind of apprehensive to get into like financial stuff or data. I wasn't super confident at, and actually the thing that helped me the most get focus was starting to ask more questions from I reported to the CEO, so ask more questions from him around like, okay, where do we need to be financially? Like, okay, you want leads, but how does that work? What do I bring in? Where do you see marketing really having a big impact on your overall goal? And that actually did help me then get better at being like, we need to do this or this. And to be honest, it was less brand and more more like conversion on the website or email marketing. And it was all stuff we needed to do. It wasn't the stuff I necessarily loved to do. I loved the creative stuff. And I think that is actually the really tricky part between as a head of marketing, you are so reactive on everything. I actually used to get to the point where people would come to me with like, even if it was like somebody else in the company, would come to me with a creative idea. And I'd be like, do you not understand that I don't have time to be thinking about a nice idea? And at the start, I loved it. That was my thing I loved to do. And it was the thing that the company got really excited about. But I had to then, but it didn't align with what I felt I needed to achieve. And I found that as a job satisfaction, not great, but actually it did help me make decisions in terms of what we were doing in terms of marketing when I really understood the financial layout of the company and then asked more questions.
Because it makes
me more asking.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea, because then that's how you justify, is basically like, what will this impact? And it sort of serves as your North Star. Something else that I've been working on that to me is hopefully, I think it's connected to what you're saying, is I actually, this might be controversial, but I don't think that leads should only be marketing's responsibility. I don't think leads should be, that it's only marketing's goal to track. And I think as we continue to get more sophisticated, the market gets more sophisticated, we should be measuring other things. Like, I don't know, like for us, we now have a strategic account list. Like, what are the percentage of strategic accounts that have been engaged? And some of these should be company-wide metrics, because so marketing can't get so much done. That wasn't great English. Marketing can't get enough done without the support of the rest of the company. And I think that like everyone should think of themselves as a marketer, like a product manager. If they're releasing product, like, is a customer going to use that? Is it valuable? Then build it. And then how do you message that? How do you take it? How do you take it to market? Sales is a whole other kind of marketer. They're the ones experimenting with messaging and testing and should be feeding things back and asking for content that would be helpful. And you could even have customer success being marketers, because they're the ones getting customer stories and building advocates and sharing themes about use cases. And so I find right now it's very much on marketing and it's shifting. But I hope that we can do better if it's not just on marketing shoulders.
Mm. If any CEOs are listening, because I was going to say, actually, my CEO did do that. For a quarter, he said, you're in charge of comms, not comms externally, comms internally, in terms of you've got to go and work with sales, look at what they're saying to customers, go and work with product and look at what they're saying. And actually what that did do is create. And I guess then you need a CEO who can see where marketing stops and then product takes over. So I was in charge of getting people to onboarding. But if the onboarding wasn't working, then it was product. And I would say for the first year, it was definitely very separate. And it was only when I went and did the comms work and I worked with those teams more that then I could start to had that conversation of like, I think something's missing here. Like, we're saying this at the front, at the top of the funnel, but that doesn't come through the onboarding flow. And so there was a lot more collaboration in that way, where I think people were feeling the responsibility of their leads. But I think that has to come from above.
I agree. Yeah. I was just going to say, was it, how did your CEO, because it's one thing to say, Lucy, go in and talk to product. But if product doesn't want to talk to you, then you're going to have like an unresponded to Slack message.
Well, I am very charming. So it actually,
who would say no to you? They're leaping at the opportunity for a call.
No, I think it was a company wide thing. So he very much then internally announced it as like, this is marketing. Like, and actually then we went round. Oh, this is what we did. We went round. I didn't do this. I should say Monica, who was on my team, did it. She went around and interviewed every team in the company and found out what they were struggling with that marketing could help with.
So and her question was specifically framed out around what can marketing help with?
It was like about comms. What do you think customers aren't understanding? How can we, like, I think the last question would have been like, is there anything you think marketing can help with? And we did a company survey where we asked people what they thought the perception of the company was to our audience. And what that brought out was like some different stuff. So I think we felt at the time that there was a bit of a difficulty with like the people that we were marketing to would be less likely to trust a tech company. They kind of like to talk to people one-on-one. And that really came out in the survey that everybody felt like that in the company. And so what it meant is that I could then take it to the CEO and say, this has come out in this survey. How do you, like, I'm proposing these things are what we do.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
But how that goes into pipeline is a bit off topic maybe. Well, I think I'll just go back around to it. I think it shows, yes, you have to be specific on what you're doing and make sure that it talks to these overall goals of the company. But what that also means is you have to work with product, sales, da, 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 and that really helped us make a relationship with them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's you building trust with them that they know that you're legit, basically, and that they can use you.
We need to do an episode on how to get people to trust marketing internally.
Oh my God. I'm writing that down. 100%. I think it's so much of it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think another thing with pipeline is, and it's a much bigger question that I've been working, trying to figure out is like, is one thing to experiment with a bunch of activities and tactics, but actually if it's like the garbage in, garbage out method, if your positioning and messaging and actually who you're targeting isn't right, then all those activities are a waste. Mm-hmm. And so I think we keep trying to get more specific with our personas, and I think we can get even more specific and do more research and listen to more gong calls. Like, what's actually happening on sales calls? What are they saying that's working? What are the consistent pains we're hearing? Because I think, especially this early, we should always be revisiting our messaging. We last did it in February. It's now June. For early stage, we're honestly probably overdue for a revisit. And so that's also something that I just keep thinking about. And even though I do have a product marketing background, it still is intimidating to do. Like, it's scary. Like, at Salesforce, I wasn't studying the positioning for Salesforce. Like, I was, and so it's good to just like always be thinking about it. And I feel lucky that we have a CEO who's also, he's actually a great marketer. Like, he's always testing new messaging with VCs or people he meets and shares the feedback. But I think that's just something else I've been thinking about is it might not seem like a short-term solve to like your CRO or head of sales. But yeah, like I said, all your activities are going to be a waste if your messaging isn't resonating.
I would also get a report or sometimes pull a report from customer services or like our customer support team. What are people not understanding? That would really help with my messaging as well. We also need to do an episode on, we should just do an episode on how April Dunford changed our lives.
Oh, God bless her soul. Do you think we could get her on here and we could just like fangirl her the whole time?
I think definitely for episode 3, we had 100 listens last time. April, we've got a huge following. Loyal like fan base.
This is an ask to everyone. Like, share, subscribe, whatever all the influencers say. So we can get April. That should be our goal. Oh, okay, done. April, if you're listening.
We love you.
We love you.
You did
like in a cool, casual way.
Not in a intense, we've read your book. Did I sit? Actually, I think my boss at one point referred to it as my Bible. I just walked around the office with it.
I made my CEO buy it and read it too. So I'm with you. And then I pre-ordered her sales pitch book too. So super nerd.
Anyway. Before we leave everyone who might be going through the pipeline, I was gonna say pipeline disaster, pipeline stress.
Stress that we
have felt. You had a really good piece of content that actually explained a lot about pipeline and you found really useful. So maybe you could explain it.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a resource and company called, it's spelled MKT1, and they have a great blog full of tons of really tactical marketing content targeted to early stage companies. I've learned a lot on there. And this blog specifically is called Building an Efficient Marketing Machine, The Fuel and the Engine. And I just really liked how it broke those down so simply, because I think sometimes a big part of my overwhelmed feeling is just like things feeling disorganized. I have a very visual brain. I like to picture where things go, how things flow and work. And this gave me a great framework. So the fuel is sort of what we're saying, what garbage in, garbage out. So what goes in? It's your messaging, it's your content, design, blog posts, display ads, case studies, webinar content. So sort of that like content messaging piece. And then the other side is the engine. So that's then how you take it to market. It's the channels, it's the analytics, it's your content distribution plan, like running tests on landing pages, things like that. And so I just think that's a really helpful framework because it can help you sort of think about this machine that you're trying to build. And if you're all engine and no fuel, like that's a problem. So if you have tons of, if you know your channels that are working, then great. But if the fuel isn't there, then maybe focus on your messaging and your content, or the reverse. You're all content, but no engine. Like, we sort of found, well, I like to think we've had feedback that we're producing really high quality content, but no one's seeing it. So, like, let's focus on the engine, the distribution plan. Or you can have, you know, your fuel and your engine don't match up. So I think it's just a really simple way to actually have a look at what you're doing and make sure that your fuel and your engine are aligned.
So should I summarize our key takeaways?
Please.
Ask your CEO, when we're looking at pipeline, ask your boss or your CEO, realistically, financially, where do we need to be? What does that look like in terms of customers? Get uncomfortable with asking, I think, questions about finance and understanding tracking and data was definitely something for me that helped with pipeline. Your advice is get specific. Look at not making sure that you're making this whole big marketing funnel. Make sure you're going specific within that, and then read this article, and then look at where the fuel and the engine is in your company. And then would you say that's right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, my other learning is just don't be afraid to fail or try things quickly, or just, like, we spun up a new webinar in literally 2 weeks and got 100 registrants. Now I need to figure out if they're the right ones. But, like, I think just sometimes just go. And I think I'm trying to learn to not overthink things, but with, like, a little bit of strategy. That's my balance.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We already did the like, share, and subscribe that we're now going to have to work out how we do in a proper podcast way. But for now, see you in episode 3. What are we going to talk about in episode 3?
I don't know, how to get people to trust marketing. That came up on this.
I think that was nice. I think we should do that. Okay, so next week we'll talk about how we approached it, and then some tips on how maybe it can get better.
Absolutely. And also, however you've found this podcast, whether you're a friend of ours, thank you, family, or someone shared it with you, please find me and Lucy on LinkedIn. If there's topics that you want to hear about, if you are a first-time marketing leader or just in marketing and have things that are giving you anxiety, send them over, because we love ideas. And I think you'll quickly realize that you're not alone in anything that you're feeling.
For sure. Okay, thanks.
Bye. This was fun. Talk to you later.